Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Happy New Year. We are so blessed that each week you take the opportunity to listen to these messages. We pray that the Seed of Faith will grow in you. Our prayer here at the Seed Christian Fellowship is that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. If you would like to join us on Sunday mornings, we worship at 9 a.m. Pacific Time at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. Many of you can't join us, but you could join us live stream. You could go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, chat, offer up prayers, fellowship, worship, and grow in grace. If you miss all those opportunities, you can go to our YouTube channel, which is the Seed Christian Fellowship, and you can watch any of our messages, our weekly services. We want you to grow in grace. Happy New Year! We have a clean slate in front of us for this next year, 2025. What are you looking, waiting, longing, and hoping for in 2025? We are all hoping for something. What comes to your mind when you hear the word hope? What are you hoping for this new year? As many of you know, I like to come up with a little ditty for me to reflect on during the year. I like to rhyme it with the year, with the theme. I have one for this year. Grow more in Christ and make Christ more alive in 25. Make Christ more alive in 25. Make Christ more alive in 25. My wife's little ditty is Live on Grace Drive in 2025. I'd like to share our Old Testament passage with you before we turn to our New Testament reading today. It is one of my favorites. It's one that I turn to at the beginning of each year. Let's listen for God's word for us from the prophet Isaiah. Before we do, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give thanks that you give us breath, that you give us life, a new life. May we grow more alive in you in 25. May your word be alive and redemptive. May your word transform us so that we can be your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 43, 15 through 19. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Wow. That's one of my favorites. Isaiah 43:19 and verse 18. Forget the former things. You're on a new year. You have a clean slate. What are you hoping for? Hope. What comes to your mind? A new year, a new thing? What are you hoping for? In the Bible, hope is a unique kind of hope that is never a wish. It is always based upon an absolute certainty. You can hope for these things with the utter confidence that they will happen. It's the kind of hope that Simeon and Anna had as they looked, they waited, they longed, and hoped for the consolation of Israel. The hope of Simeon and Anna was based upon something that God had promised. And since God always fulfills his promises, we too can look forward with not just a wish, but an absolute hope. Let us listen for the hope revealed in our gospel reading in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, 21 through 38. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people of Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. As we move on from our Christmas story, the shepherds have gone back to tending their sheep, and Mary and Joseph have gone back to Nazareth. We can imagine that Joseph is putting up with irate customers in his carpenter shop while Mary is washing dirty diapers. The glory of the angel's announcement is gone, and life is back to normal. Is that how it is with you? Has the hope, the joy, the excitement of Christmas washed away? Has the announcement of the birth of our Savior become a distant ringing in your ears? Is life back to normal? We pick up Luke's narrative with Mary and Joseph going through the ritual activities of their day. In the weeks that followed Jesus' birth, Joseph and Mary carefully obeyed God's commands to them as new parents. Luke records these commands this way in Luke 2:22, according to the law of Moses. Luke 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, and verse 24, in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord, and then verse 27, this was the custom of the law required. Wow, four times we mentioned that they are fulfilling what God commands. Just what were these customs and rituals? They were the customs of circumcision, the rite of redemption of the firstborn, and the ritual of purification after childbirth. Oh, how have we lost the hope of Christmas? There was a woman who was doing her last-minute Christmas shopping at a crowded mall. She was tired of fighting the crowd. She was tired of standing in the lines. She was tired of fighting her way down long aisles looking for a gift that had sold out days before. Her arms were full of bulky packages when an elevator door opened. It was full. The occupants of the elevator grudgingly tightened rings to allow a small space for her and her load. As the doors closed, she blurted out, "Whoever is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." A few others nodded their heads and grunted in agreement. Then from somewhere in the back of the elevator came a single voice that said, "Don't worry, they already crucified him." Wow, can you imagine that? How we have lost the hope of Christmas? Hope. Even the sound of that word can lift your spirits when you're down. Hope keeps you going when life seems to be going nowhere or going in the wrong direction. Hope gives you something to cling to when you've lost your job, your health, or someone you love. Hope is the spark inside your soul that tells you that tomorrow things will be better. Hope is life like, well, I say it this way. Actually, Scripture says it this way. Hope is like having an anchor for your soul, or hope is like having an anchor in the future. The three points of this message for us today are: God is the source of our hope, Jesus is the fulfillment of hope, and the Holy Spirit fills us with hope as we follow Jesus. God is the source of our hope. Point one, the Bible defines hope as expectation, trust, and patient waiting. Hope is linked to faith. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." Hope is the basis that the future belongs to God. God is the source of our hope. The mass of people swarming through the temple that day, Jesus was just another baby nestled in the arms of a young mother. No one would have noticed him. No one except Simeon and Anna. We are introduced to Simeon in verse 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rest upon him." And we meet Anna in verse 36 and 37. "There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day." I coached Little League for many years, Little League Baseball, when my children were little. I remember one of the coaches telling me a story about the time when he was a little boy beginning to play baseball. My friend told me that one of the things his coach did was host a picnic for the team at the beginning of the season. After they ate hot dogs and burgers, the coach sat them down for a little pep talk. He asked, "How many of you have a dream to one day play in the major leagues?" Almost every hand shot up. Every kid with his hand up believed he could do it. You could see it in their eyes. He then told them, "If that is to happen, that dream begins now." They were so inspired by that challenge, all of them were, that they practiced and played hard, and they went undefeated for the next few years. All-star teams from other leagues would play them and lose. Some 25 years later, he became a little league coach. My friend brought all the kids together at the beginning of the season to give them a pep talk, the same one his coach had given them. He asked his team the same question: "How many of you have a dream to one day play in the major leagues?" Not one hand was raised. Not one kid believed he could do it. You could see it in their eyes. My friend said that he was speechless. The rest of his talk was meaningless. So he said, "Really? Nobody? Well, go get your gloves and let's throw." I thought about that story for a long time. What happened in the 25 years since my friend was a child? What had come into their lives to steal their dreams and dash their hopes? You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. We also have a couple in the church that bought one-year Bibles and reference books. If you would like a one-year Bible, just email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship, and I'll mail you a one-year Bible. I'm talking about hope. What had convinced this generation of people that they were not going to have hope? I shared that story. What is the source of our hope? Anna and Simeon had waited, watched, looked, and longed for years upon years. They were looking for the fulfillment of God's promises, the revealing of the light to the Gentiles and glory to the Jewish nation. Jesus is the fulfillment of hope. Let me say that again. Jesus is the fulfillment of hope. Simeon and Anna are wonderful examples for us. They symbolize for us all that is good when we are people of hope. Both are aged. We are not told how old Simeon is. However, some scholars believe that Anna could have been as old as 103 or 104. She was married for 7 years and then a widow for 84. If she was married at 13, then she was 20 when she was a widow. Anna worshiped, fasted, prayed, and dreamed for the coming of the Messiah for another 84 years. Both Simeon and Anna are devoted to God. Simeon is called righteous and devout, and Anna never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Both are filled with hope. Simeon is waiting for the consolation of Israel. Anna is looking toward the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon is waiting and Anna is watching. Both are filled with hope. Every day, they were at the temple, waiting, watching, and hoping. Many babies come and go into the temple each day. Seeing a baby in the temple was a common, ordinary occurrence, especially seeing baby boys. It's a Jewish tradition for the parents of a son to bring their baby to the temple on the eighth day to be circumcised. Go back to Simeon and Anna at the temple as they usually were. For many years, this was their daily life. Both Simeon and Anna were overcome with joy at the sight of the infant Jesus, the Son of the Most High, the consolation of Israel, the redemption of Jerusalem. both proclaimed the good news of the Messiah. All that could hear, Simeon exclaimed that the Lord could dismiss him now. In essence, Simeon is saying that he could die now that he has seen the Messiah. Simeon is filled with the Holy Spirit and begins praising God while holding God's Son, Jesus. What a beautiful picture of hope. Filled with the Spirit, praising the Father, holding the Son. There's a Trinity for you. Filled with the Spirit, praising the Father, holding the Son. And this is what he says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people of Israel." Following this sacred moment, Anna proclaims God's redemption again. God is buying back his people. This is what Anna says. "At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem." Simeon exclaims and Anna proclaims. Both are old, both are devoted, both are filled with hope. Jesus is the fulfillment of hope, not only for Simeon and Anna, but also for you and me. If God is the source of hope and Jesus is the fulfillment of hope, then how can we have hope today? This leads us to our so what question for today. The third point, the Holy Spirit fills us with hope when we follow Jesus. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit fills us with hope when we follow Jesus. So how does this apply to you and me? How do the stories of Simeon and Anna affect us today? Has our hope been lost in the maze of shopping, programs, pandemic, problems, and wars, and rumors of wars, economic struggles? Has the announcement of the birth of our Savior become lost in the midst of, well, holiday wrappings? What can we learn about hope from Simeon and Anna? Simeon and Anna had spent many years waiting for the hope of Israel. When they came face to face with Jesus, they knew who Jesus was, and their hope gave birth to so much more. So what? I always like to end with a so what. How do we apply the scriptures? I always say, put the scripture in you and put yourself in the scripture. The Seed Christian Fellowship has always been about hope. The Seed was founded on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. God has filled us all with the hope of Christ. Where do we need hope in our lives? From today's story, we know we are never too old to hope. Look at Simeon and Anna. From Simeon, we learn this lesson today. Never stop hoping, looking, waiting, and watching for the consolation and the comfort of God. From Anna, we learn never stop looking, waiting, and watching for God's redemption. God buying us back from our lost and lonely state. Hope. Hope. His only plan every day is for us to hope in him, Jesus, the Messiah. At the beginning of the service, I asked, what are you hoping for this year? What are you hoping for this year? I would like to tell you what I'm hoping for this new year. I hope that all of our lives would be transformed by the love of God, that our eyes would be open like Simeon's and Anna's, to see the wonderful salvation that is in plain sight for all to see, that we would share this good, grand, merry news with everyone we come in contact with. I pray we never lose the hope of Christmas. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord of Lords, and King of Kings. Christ is God's message of hope. This new year, may we join Simeon and Anna in proclaiming that Jesus is the light, Jesus is our glory, and Jesus is our Redeemer. This message of hope is for us all, the lost and the lonely, the forsaken and the fearful, the sleepless and the sleepy. This message of hope is for the brokenhearted, for those bound by pain or peer pressure, for those who are wounded, for those trapped by habitual sins that ensnare them. This message of hope wasn't just for Simeon and Anna. It is alive with hope for us today. That kind of hope, that is just wishing, but the kind of hope that comes from absolute certainty and utter confidence. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know your fears for the future. this message of Christmas is a hope that will sustain you and strengthen you every day. This new year, we are putting our hope, our absolute certainty and utter confidence in God's only Son, Jesus Christ. I love the old hymn, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom your captives by filling us with hope. That's my prayer. This message of hope is for all of us. If we're lost, we have hope in Christ. If we're lonely, we have hope in Christ. If we're forsaken and fearful, we have hope in Christ. If we're, well, sleepless, sometimes sleep eludes us, or maybe we're just really sleepy, this message of hope is for us. This message of hope is for the brokenhearted. If you've lost a loved one or a broken relationship or finances, I want you to have hope. For those bound by pain or peer pressure today, this message of hope is for you. For those that are wounded, wounded by friends or wounded physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, sexually, this message of hope is for you. Heaven's one promise, Emmanuel. That's my acronym for hope, H-O-P-E. Heaven's one promise, Emmanuel. God is with us. Simeon and Anna waited and watched, and they found hope in the Messiah. They found consolation, that's comfort. They found redemption, that's salvation, in Christ. Listen, if you need prayer, my prayer team here at the Seed Christian Fellowship, they're prayer warriors. They'll pray for you to have hope this year. Heaven's one promise, Emmanuel. This kind of hope that we have, this Christian hope, well, it's not just wishing, but it's the hope that comes from the absolute certainty and the utter confidence that God is our source of hope. Jesus is the fulfillment of hope, and the Holy Spirit fills us with hope. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, what a way to begin the new year. It's pretty simple. You can say this prayer with me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all of my sins and cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. Help me to live in the hope that you give us each and every day. If you said that prayer with me, you can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship, and we'll send you a Bible and help you to grow in hope. You can always join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and fellowship with us. I want you to know that you're not alone. This year is going to be a good year. Make Christ more alive in 2025. Make Christ more alive in 2025. Let us pray. God, despite whatever circumstances we find ourselves in today, we turn to you right now and ask to be filled with hope. Help us this new year be like Simeon, filled with hope, overcome with joy, and one who proclaims, my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. This is our New Year prayer. God, you are the source of our hope. Christ is the fulfillment of our hope. And as we follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit will fill us all with hope. Amen. My prayer for this year is that we'll all come to know the love of God, to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with hope, sowing seeds of faith into our families, our friends, our work world, wherever we go, that we bring the light of Christ out into the world. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. See you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you. and so do we.